Amen. Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 20. 2 Chronicles, chapter 20, verses 1 through 5. Now, Brother Terry, when is your flight plan? When do you have to be out of here? When is your...
I'm playing off at 1 o'clock.
1 o'clock. Yeah, if you have to leave before the message, I'm trying my best to keep this rolling, get it done here. Don't worry. Okay, and so that I don't mess up your plan there with customs and all of that. Okay, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 1 through 5. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 1 through 5. It's amazing, these songs. We didn't get together on these songs ahead of time, these battle cry songs and the battles. You know why God has given us those songs and this message? We've been going through the Gospel of John, but I felt like this was the message for us today. There must be something coming around the corner here that we don't know of, but I want to tell you something. We live on the victory side, not the losing side. We really do. And I want to encourage you to be good soldiers. I want our church to be soldiers, soldier Christians, strong, godly Christians. And you can do it. We just have to learn the secret how. And there's not a thing that can knock you down and knock you out. I promise you. The greatest life in the world is the life of a Christian. Through the ups and downs, the good and the bad, the greatest life in the whole world is the life of a born-again believer serving our Savior. Okay? 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 1 through 5, we'll read that, and we'll read it responsively. I read verse 1, you respond in verse 2, we conclude on verse 5. There's a lot more I could read, but we're shortening everything a little bit here today for time's sake. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, we're going to be introduced to a king here. His name is King Jehoshaphat. Okay, just may fat King Jehoshaphat. That's how you remember him. I want to tell you, he was a good king. He was a good king. There wasn't a whole bunch of them, but he was one of them. He had his faults, but he was a good king. Chapter 20, verse 1. It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other besides the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, "There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on the side of Syria, and behold, they be as Hazam Tamar, which is Engedi." And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord, and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. I've entitled this, "You Must Face Your Own Battles." And that's what Jehoshaphat was doing here. This was Jehoshaphat's battle. And he was facing it. But I want to tell you something, he won. He won. And we're going to find out how. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the illustrations, the examples, and the admonitions that are given to us in the Old Testament. You have told us in the New Testament that they're there for our admonition, our example, our encouragement. And Lord, I pray that you would help us today see things that can apply to us and how we can live on the winning side of the battles against the church, against us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You may be seated. King Jehoshaphat is the fourth king of Judah. Since the kingdom had split, there was a church split in Israel. The northern kingdom split from the southern kingdom. And it's a little confusing when you get past that, because we always think Israel is good. When Israel is mentioned, Israel is good. But from the split on, Israel was not good. Not once did Israel, they didn't have one king. Whenever you see Israel connected from the split on, Israel erred, they sinned. They did the wrong thing. They went their own way. They rebelled and they split. Okay? Now, the other side of the kingdom split was Judah in the south. So when you see the word Judah, and there's usually some good connected with what's going on. Now, Judah had its share of bad kings too. It wasn't all good. But a few good kings made all the difference for Judah in this period of history. And the consequences of both the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom is they both sinned to the point eventually where they were brought into captivity. Now, the southern kingdom lasted 100 years longer than the northern kingdom. The northern kingdom was conquered by Assyria, and they were taken into captivity, and they were warned. God sent preachers into the northern kingdom, and they warned them and warned them and warned them to turn from their idols, to live right, to get right with God, turn from their idolatries, but they did not listen. And there was no king to lead them. The southern kingdom, Judah, was blessed with the odd good king in the sequence. This was one of them. Now, he wasn't a great king, but he was a good king. He always knew to go. He always, when things got bad, he always went in the right direction. He always got things. He always got things on the right track when things were going bad. You know, it doesn't have to be like that. We can keep things on the right track all the time, but when things are going off the rails in your life, you know where to go. That's the important thing. And hopefully you learn a lesson every time that happens. Well, King Jehoshaphat was one of those kings. Now, he's the fourth king in the Judah line. He's the fourth king, and he was a good king. He followed the good patterns of the godly principles that his father had given to him. King Jehoshaphat's father was King Asa, A-S-A. He was a good king as well. He had a good father. And actually, he had a good grandfather. And his grandfather, he had a grandfather that had really helped him. His name was Abijah. And he wasn't as good as Asa, but King Abijah gave them some, he really instilled some good principles. Now, they're still drawing off the line of King David, King Solomon, and then King Rehoboam and Jeroboam were the split. That's where it split. And Jeroboam was a rebel, and he took the northern kingdom down the wrong path. And I want to tell you something, rebellion and revolt never works out right. God never blesses that, ever. Rebellion and revolt against God and his principles and his ways. It just never has. I've been watching for 35 years, and you just let God work things out. Don't rebel. Now, that's what Jeroboam did. Now, there was a lot of good things that Jeroboam did. He expanded the spiritual reforms in Judah. He continued to carry on what King Asa had started with spiritual reforms. Secondly, he built their military. The military was built up. He continued great building projects. Things were going pretty good, really good for King Jehoshaphat. He did something else. He removed all the Sodomites out of the land. That was King Jehoshaphat. He removed all the Sodomites. You know what a Sodomite is? Anybody? Sodomites? I just want to give you a deep theological truth here from the Bible. Sodomites. It's sexual perversion. It is men with men, women with women, sodomy. And really it includes any other sexual perversion. Okay? And it was full, rampant in certain, the northern Israel, and it was dribbling across, leaching in to Judah. And they do that. That's what they do. They probably had a few gay pride parades. They were doing a few things like that, trying to get their get known out there. And King Jehoshaphat, he says nonsense to that, and he cleansed the land, all the Sodomites. Okay? Now, he did have some failures, however. And his failures were in alliances, wrong alliances, that really showed up a generation later. he allowed a wrong marriage in chapter 21 and verse 6. I don't have time to go to all this. He made a wrong alliance in the war. He aligned himself with Israel in order, he thought, that's going to help me. And he made that wrong alliance in war. He made a wrong alliance in business, in commerce. He made an unequal yoke in business. That means he tried to yoke up with people that did not love the Lord. And they were disastrous. They all proved to be disastrous. I want you to see in chapter 19 and verse number 2. This is one rebuke that he gets, chapter 19 and verse 2. And this might apply to all of us as well. And Jehu, the son of Hananiah the seer, went out to meet him. That's Jehoshaphat. Now, that when you see that word Hananiah the seer, S-E-E-R, that's the old days word for a preacher, for a prophet. They were a seer. That means they could see things nobody else could see. They could see the future. They could see things in the Bible. They could see things from God, messages from God. And they were able to effectively communicate these things that they saw. They were called seers. Well, the seer, preacher, let's call him a preacher, he comes, a God-called, God-anointed seer. He comes to Jehoshaphat and he tells Jehoshaphat, you made an alliance here. And verse 2, and Jehu, the son of Hananiah, the seer, went out to meet him and said to the king Jehoshaphat, shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is wrath upon thee from before the Lord. Look at verse 3. Nevertheless, God's gracious grace. Nevertheless, King Jehoshaphat, you're a good king, but you're sure far from perfect. You're a good king, King Jehoshaphat, but there's sure some shortfall with you. Verse number 3, nevertheless, there are good things found in thee, in that thou hast taken away the groves out of the land and hast prepared thine heart to seek God. We see the first thing that made Jehoshaphat a great good king. He prepared his heart to seek the Lord. He had some real shortcomings. But you know what? I'm glad there's people with shortcomings in the Bible that did good. Because that means there's hope for me. That's what it is. There's hope for me and there's hope for you. And we always get this idea that everything in the Bible is perfect. Christians that go to church are perfect. Baptists, Prince Albert Baptist, and I'm not, so I'm not. That is not the way to look at it. You look at it, you prepare your heart to seek the Lord, you trust the Lord, and you will be amazed at what God will do with you. Just keep going forward. Keep seeking the Lord. Keep Him first in your life, and keep making steps forward, okay? I think this kind of explains, you know, these two verses really explain the weakness of Jehoshaphat. He says, you tried to help the ungodly, and you love them that hate the Lord. He says, I don't want it. You know, God's way is always separate from the ungodly, always. You know, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, and that sits in the seat of the scornful, and stands in the way of the ungodly. It's principle all the way through the Bible. Keep away from the ungodly. Now, we got to work with them. We witness to them. We go out. But we do not join hands with them. We do not marry the ungodly. We do not go in business ventures with the ungodly. We do not yoke up with the ungodly. We keep ourselves separated from them. That's a principle taught in the Bible, in the book of 2 Corinthians. Paul told the Corinthian church, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. Why? So that he could work in you and through you and bring glory to God. It's a biblical principle all the way through. And it's one that you will learn as a new Christian that you must do. Well, things have been going good for King Jehoshaphat, very good for a long time, actually. Cities are being built, and alliances are, growing, his military is getting stronger, and his projects are being built all over the country. But one day he gets bad news. Chapter 1, there's a battle brewing. Battle is coming. Chapter 20 and verse 1. And it came to pass that some bad news came, and the children of Moab, the children of Ammon, and with them besides the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Verse 2, then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, the news gets worse, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria, and behold, they be in Hazazam Tamar, which is Engedi. Basically, bad news. There's a battle brewing, and it's coming, and it's going to be a big one. This is a great multitude. They're coming. So what does Jehoshaphat do? Well, at this point in his life, he did the right thing. We see a victory here. Jehoshaphat thinks about it, oh my goodness, this big battle, the Ammonites, the Moabites. And by the way, in the application for the Christian, we have battles. Christians have battles, but it's not against the Ammonites, the Moabites. But there is a picture here of the Ammonites, the Moabites, and the Hittites. They are all a picture of the battle that we have as believers in this spiritual world against the flesh, against the world, and against the devil. And I want to tell you something. Satan is always manipulating his little peons to try and get you to give in and try to see you defeated by the flesh, by the world, and by the devil. He's playing with your lust strings. He's playing with your head, and he's trying to get you off of the rails. He's trying to get you going in the wrong direction. And I want to tell you something. You know what you have to do? You've got to learn to fight. You've got to learn to fight the spiritual warfare God's way and win. Win. Winners. I just got word this week, another church, another pastor of another church, pastor is probably leaving the ministry right here in Canada. And a good friend of mine, I know him well, and he called me the other day. He says, I can't do it. He said, it's just, I can't do it and do the ministry. I got to get out. I've been communicating for a long time on this. It's not something, the battle. And I've been thinking about it. I've seen other Christians, guys get started in the Christian life, but they get battles. We see a little advance. We see a good week with tent meetings. And then a couple weeks later, 3 weeks later, we see some guy, he's gone. He gives up. He can't take it. The devil gets him. He hangs some meat in front of him, a little lure, and he draws some you off, and he gets you, and down you go. And I want to tell you today, we don't have to live like that. You can live in victory. You can be a winner. You can be an overcomer. You really can. The Bible has a lot of overcomers. It teaches us about overcoming, about winning the battle, sound the battle cry, and going on. You can win. In the 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3, you don't have to turn there, it says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You know what Paul was telling them there? Paul was telling the Corinthian church, you're in a battle. It's a battle, and they had been losing. The Corinthian church was losing the war. And Paul is trying to get them to be winners, to be overcomers, to win. And he's telling them, our warfare is not through the flesh. It's not after the flesh. Verse 5 of that chapter says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Every thought to the what? Obedience of Christ. Every thought. You know where the battle? I'm telling you, folks, the battle is won up here and lost up here. It's keeping your thinking right. That's why we memorize verses. We get people in challenges, doing the challenges. And you know something? Some of you here that go to church, you were raised in a Christian home, and you don't spend any time in your Bible. And I tell you what, it's just going to be a matter of time, and you're going to be out. You're going to be done. You have got to learn to fight your own battles. You've got to learn to fight and win in the battle, this battle of life and death. He says, but he's giving them here. He says, bringing every thought to the obedience of Christ in verse 6 of that chapter, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. And he's saying that this war is really against right and wrong. And he's saying we can win when we ourselves are living in victory and bringing every thought to the obedience of Christ. He says, when you get that right, when you get this victory in your thinking right, in your walk, in your thought life, if you can get that, he says, then we're going to make advances against the enemy. He says, we're going to make advances. Now, in a battle, it's good to look back. There was a look back. Now, King Jehoshaphat, I'm sure he looks back and he remembers. He remembers his dad. He remembers his dad, and he remembers his grandfather. I want us to go back to, we're in 2 Chronicles chapter 13 and verse 14. This is his grandfather. Chapter 13 and verse 14, he's against a big battle here. There's a big battle against rebelling Israel, King Jeroboam. Chapter 13 and verse number 14. And when Judah looked back, behold, the battle was before and behind. And they cried unto the Lord, and the priests sounded the trumpet. Verse 15, then the men of Judah gave a shout, and as the men of Judah shouted, it came to pass that God smote Jeroboam and all Israel before Abijah and Judah. Verse 16, and the children of Israel fled before Judah, and God delivered them into their hand. Verse 17, and Abijah and his people slew them with a great slaughter, so that there fell down slain of Israel 500,000 chosen men. Now that word Israel there, they're the enemy here. You know why? Because Israel was in rebellion. Israel was attacking Judah. Israel had the name Israel, but they were rebelling, and they were coming against Judah, and Jehoshaphat's grandfather cried unto the Lord. And the prophet tells his grandfather here, he says, you have not forsaken the Lord. He says, you've kept the charge of the Lord in verse number 11. You have not forsaken him. And he said in verse 12, and God himself is with us. God himself is with us. And the battle, they went into battle, they sounded the trumpets, they did exactly what they were supposed to do. They obeyed the Lord. They were obedient. I tell you guys, the secret to battle in the Christian life is obey, 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 obey. It's obedience, it's obedience, it's obedience. Even when it doesn't feel like it's the right thing to do, obey. The key, the first key, is keep your life on the path of obedience. Obey, even if it hurts. Obedience, even if it doesn't make sense. Obey, even when others aren't obeying, you obey. Obedience is the first step to victory. Now, 500,000 chosen men. That's a lot of men. That's a lot of soldiers. Do you know how many soldiers that is? I'll give you a little bit of an idea. In the First World War in Canada, the entire war, 4 years, 61,000 soldiers died from Canada. In the entire 4 years of the war, 61,000. It's called the Great War because of the great losses. In the USA, in that same war, 116,000 soldiers died in that war. And we thought it was tragic, and it is tragic. It was awful that many people gave their life. It's interesting, in the U.S. side, over half of the soldiers, the military deaths in the U.S. side were not military conflict. It wasn't bullets, it was disease. It was disease in the war camps and diseases they picked up in these other countries. So over 60,000 people died in the First World War, U.S. soldiers and military people. So we have 116,000 and 61,000. We don't even have 200,000 people in all of the First World War, Canada and the United States. In this war, one battle, 500,000 people die in one war. Let's go to the next war, Second World War. Brutal war, Hitler and his killing machine, and the tolls went up, the death tolls went up. And by the way, you can see right on these two plaques right at the front, these were men that died in the First and the Second World War from Prince Albert and from this church that were attending church at this time. This church was built in 1906, and the war didn't break out until 1914, and many of the farm boys from all over went in the First and Second World War, and that's the plaque of those who were lost from this area, from this town. In the Second World War, the Canadian soldier deaths were 45,000 from Canada. So we have actually less that died in the Second World War than died in the First World War from Canada. But in the U.S. side, there were 416,000 U.S. deaths in the Second World War. And remember, the U.S. didn't even enter the war till late in the war. The losses were tragic, huge. Pearl Harbor, all of those big battles, thousands of hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people died. So we have the Second World War, both the Second World War, all 4 years of war, the U.S. and Canada together combined came to just under the 500,000. In this battle, 500,000 chosen men died in one battle. You know what? That was a God-given victory. And you know what King Jehoshaphat does? He looks back on that, and he knew God had given the victory. He'd heard his dad. He'd heard his grandfather. I want us to just go here to chapter 14, chapter 14 and verse number 2. Chapter 14. Verse 1, chapter 14, grandfather 14. So Abijah slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. And Asa, his son, reigned in his stead. In his days the land was quiet 10 years. Verse 2. And Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. You know who Asa is? That's Jehoshaphat's father. He was a good man. The Bible says it was a good man. Now I want you to go to verse 8. Verse 8 of that chapter. Verse 8 of 2nd. And Asa had an army of men that bare targets and spears out of Judah, 300,000. And out of Benjamin that bare shields and drew bows, 280,000. All these men were mighty men of valor. Verse 9. And there came out against Zerah the Ethiopian with a host of and there's a big number here, with a host of 1,000,300 chariots, and came unto Marasha. Do you know how much 1,000,000 is? Anybody want to take a shot at it? 1,000,000? 1,000,000. There was 1,000,000 soldiers converging down on Jehoshaphat's father. And look what he does, verse 11. And Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee. And in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God. Let not man prevail against thee. I'll tell you, King Asa was on the right track, and he won the battle. He won the battle. Verse 12. Look at how easy it is. Verse 12. So the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians, all 1,000,000, less quite a few now, fled. they fled. And Asa and the people that were with them pursued them to Gerar, and the Ethiopians were overthrown, that they could not recover themselves, for they were destroyed before the Lord and before the host. And they carried away very much spoil. And they smote all the cities round about Gerar, for the fear of the Lord came upon them. And they spoiled all the cities. They were exceeding much spoil in them. And it goes on and on. You know what, King Asa? Jehoshaphat's dad, he had a victory. And here Jehoshaphat's in a corner. He's got a great multitude coming upon him. This is a bad news about a big battle. He remembers his grandfather. He remembers his father. And you know what you and I have? We have a whole Bible full of victories. And I'm telling you, first thing is obey, purpose to obey. Second thing, when you're in a battle, look back. Look back. Look back at the victors and how they got there. Look back. You're going to be, if you haven't gone through a real battle in your Christian life, there's one coming. I mean, a real doozer. There's going to be something come out that you wonder, where did this come? Somebody just told me about somebody that had to, a mother that had to, she had cancer, and she ends up, and she didn't take chemotherapy or any of that because she didn't want to hurt the baby. And a Christian, godly Christian family, you'd say, they don't deserve that. Why would God allow that? I don't know. But I tell you one thing, that family went through a battle. And they had to make some choices about what they were going to do, and they decided to not take the treatment, save the baby, and shortly after the baby was born, she died. I'll tell you, that's a battle. And if you don't know how to fight those battles, you're going to go down. You're going to get bitter. You're going to get angry. You're going to get upset and frustrated. And we've got to learn how to face our battles and win. Well, King Jehoshaphat's here, and this battle news is not good. And King Asa, in chapter 20, he gets this word. He looks back at his grandfather, his father, he thinks about it. And he said himself, chapter 20, verse 3, Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. A good thing. So the first thing, obedience. The second thing, look back. The third thing is look up. Look up. Look up. Trust God. Commit yourself to Him. Make sure you're on the path of obedience. Look back at the victories. I love victory stories, and all the Bible's full of them. They're full of them, and they can be your victory story. Not the ones in the Bible, they can be your victory story. I heard today, we just heard a testimony this morning. Brother Antonio just shared a story this morning about an answered prayer for him. And I'm going to have him share it about how God did something, a miracle for him in there, and he can read his Bible. He couldn't hardly see. They gave him an operation that they just don't do in the jails. They allowed him to have an operation on his eyes, and he can read now 20/20. Last week, Peter Evans has had this cloud over him with this court case, huge court case thing over him for weeks. And it's a long story, but last week we've been praying about it. He's been praying. Him and I have been counseling. We talked to a lawyer friend of mine. And last week he called me and he says, Pastor, we had a victory. He said, you won't believe it. They let me do the court case on the phone. They let me talk to them on the phone. I didn't even have to go to Regina. They did it on the phone, just like your lawyer friend said to do. We followed that, and he said, they've ruled in my favor. I can't believe it. He said, I was so excited I had to pull off the side of the road. I'll tell you something. God will still give the victory. He really will. Stay on the path of obedience. Look back at the victories in the Bible. Ponder them. He's put them there for you. Look back and then look up. Look up. God will answer prayer. And I'm telling you, Peter is so far down some days, so discouraged and so depressed about all of this, he could have quit and I wouldn't have blamed him. But I know it's not the answer. It's not the answer. It's obedience, obedience, obedience. Look back, look up. And that's exactly what King Jehoshaphat did here. Look at what we see here. He declared a fast. Verse 4, and Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. They came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. Okay, and then we see Jehoshaphat's prayer. Oh, the help us pray like this. Jehoshaphat prays. And look at verse 9, and he's praying here from verse 6 all the way down. And to the end, verse number 11, we see the prayer of Jehoshaphat. Not a lot of words, but powerful words. You can tell Jehoshaphat knew how to pray. His dad and mom taught him how to pray. And one of the things he'd done here, verse 9, and when evil cometh upon us, he's praying here, to God, and thy sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, Lord, and cry unto thee in our affliction. Then thou wilt hear and help. He's telling God, Lord, this is how you answer. He's saying, God, I remember, we're to pray in the house of the Lord. We're to cry unto you. Your name is here. This is a place where your name is. And his name was in the temple. That's where they would go to pray. But today, the name of Christ is represented in the local churches. Gathered all across the country today are people in local churches. And it's his name, folks. The name of Jesus, that's who we're bowing to. That's who we're crying out to. That's who's going to send us the help. Our King of Kings and our Lord of Lords. And he wants to help you, but he's waiting for you to cry. Cry to him. That's the secret to victory. God's people that will cry to him. Cry to him. You see in the book of Psalms, I'll tell you, David was a mighty warrior. He was a warrior, all right. He would war, I'll tell you. He was a man of war. But one of the things that made David the victorious man of God that he was is we see all through the book of Psalms, over and over and over again, and I cried unto the Lord. I cried unto the Lord. I cried unto the Lord. And some of you are facing battles, and you're going to face them in the days ahead. You better find a place in a closet, in the book, somewhere where you get on your face before God and cry to the Lord. Cry to the Lord. We've got a bunch of weak-kneed Christians today that don't have a clue about praying. You don't know how to pray. You won't pray. You won't get on your face. You won't fast and pray. I want to tell you something. That's why we're going down. We've got to cry unto the Lord. We have our little ceremonial prayer just like they did at the temple. And those don't work. They're nice. They're wonderful. The ceremonial prayer at the church, the ceremonial prayer at supper time, the traditional prayers. Those prayers aren't going to bring us victory. I want to tell you, it's a cry from our heart to God. Face your battle. When you face your battle, when it's your day, when it's your battle, King Jehoshaphat isn't going to win your battle. King Asa isn't going to win your battle. You can look back at them and be encouraged. You're going to have to face the battle. You're going to have to decide to obey. You're going to have to decide to cry unto the Lord. And he'll give you the victory. Well, they prayed. Big fast all throughout the whole land. Folks, the answer came. Look at verse number 14. Verse 14. I love this portion. This is amazing. Then upon Jahaziel, whoever that was, we see him who he is, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, just so you know who he is here, just getting it straight, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, now he was an important guy, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. Obedience, look back, look up. Pray, cry unto the Lord, and then wait for the Spirit of the Lord to bring the answer. And folks, the Spirit of the Lord is bringing the answer. He says in verse 15, "And he said, the Spirit of the Lord comes on him. Hearken, all ye Judah and all ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz." He even told them where the enemy was going to come. He told them where to watch out. He let them see it. He says, "You'll find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel." Verse 17, "You shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord is with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed, for tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you." And Jehoshaphat, he says, "Thank you, Lord. Oh God, this is the answer I was hoping for." He knew God had answered his prayer. The battle hasn't even happened yet, but he knows they've already got the victory. Look at what he says. Verse 18, "Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Korites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel." So they worshiped the Lord. They praised the Lord. And verse number 20, "And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. As they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, Hear me, O Judah, all ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so you shall be established. Believe his prophets, you shall prosper." He's saying basically here, believe and obey. Believe and obey. That's what he's saying. Believe and obey, O Judah. Listen, God's bringing us an answer. We're going to win this. Don't be afraid. This is God's answer. The Spirit of God has brought the answer. He says, don't be afraid. He said, believe and obey. Believe and obey. Believe and obey. That is the key to victory. The path to get there is obey. Look back. Look up, pray, and wait for the answer. Now, this prayer was not an ordinary prayer. This was fasting and prayer. It doesn't say they fasted for a day, a month, a week. I don't know. They fasted, and the whole country was engaged in a fast for victory. And I really believe with all my heart that's one of the things the church needs to rediscover. Fasting our way to victories. Last week, as we dropped those little precious little children off, they come here, they have all the fun at DVBS, we take them right back to their homes, and they're singing, "Oh, how I love Jesus, and obedience is the very best way." They go right back to their homes where there's drugs and alcohol and all the garbage that's infecting our society today. And I leave there, and I've done this for a long time, year after year, for many, many years. I've seen lots of boys and girls accept Jesus Christ. But folks, I really think if we're going to really win in the battle here, Prince Albert Baptist Church has got to learn the secret of fasting and prayer. Fasting and prayer. You say, how long? I don't know. Fasting and prayer. Fasting and prayer in our battle against the powers of darkness. Fasting and prayer. How long? How long? I don't know. How long do we fast and pray, Pastor? Are you going to make us fast and pray for a day? Like no food? I'll die. No food for a day? Pastor, how could you do that? I don't think we could do that. Fast, I'll get a headache. And you will. You'll get a horrible headache the first time. You might have to, we're all kind of babies at it. We have to break you into it. You have to go one meal, then two meals, then three meals, and then a night, a night. And you know what you have to do during that time? Find a place where you cry unto the Lord. And you know what I think we're going to do? We'll make a difference. We'll have some victories. We're going to prevail against the gates of hell. We see that in the book of Acts all the way through. We will prevail. It's his way to victory. I pray you will learn the secret. When your battle comes, now we need to all engage in the battle together. Your battle is my battle. I'm serious. When you're going through something, and some of you do this, we just help Peter Evans, pastor, I want to help you. And then sometimes the church, we need to engage the church in your battle. I heard of this. This pastor had a daughter. The daughter had rebelled against her dad and mom's wishes and had done her own thing and really rebelled. And the father, they waited, they tried their prayer, and they tried, we're praying. And then one day the church, the whole church, it wasn't the pastor, the church came to, one of the men in the church came to the pastor and said, "Pastor, I think we just need to, as a church, fast and pray until we get an answer." The whole church engaged in fasting and prayer for that girl, that prodigal girl, and other ones. And they prayed, and they prayed, and they prayed. One day, 5:30 in the morning, at their house, the pastor's house, 5:30 in the morning, 5:30 in the morning, everybody's in bed. "Just wait, who is it? Who is it? Who is it? Come down. Daddy, it's me. Daddy, it's me. Daddy, it's me." He opens the door, and it's this prodigal girl. She's outside the door. Do you know where she is? She's on her knees. "Daddy, forgive me. Forgive me. Forgive me. Forgive me for what I've done to you and mommy." And that girl, repented, got things right, left the bad relationship she was in with the guy that she wasn't supposed to be in the relationship with, got things right, got back on track, married a wonderful young guy, and serve the Lord for the glory of God. That's the victory we're looking for. When your battle comes, let's win. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, for your promises, for your formula. Please help us prevail in our battles. Please, Lord, don't let